Okay, and share screen. There's the pack. Perfect.
So, shall we start with the Pledge of Allegiance?
Yes.
To stand, though. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America,
and to the Republic for which it stands,
one nation
God,
under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
What you can do with a plus, that's better. Yeah. Oh, sorry, that's what I meant.
Okay, I think that's in view for anybody to see.
Yes.
Does anybody need the packet larger?
I think that's fine for now.
Here's the
minutes. Do you want me to roll call, Sharon?
Yes, please.
Bill Cover.
Present.
Jeff Jones.
Present.
Bruce Sutter.
Right here.
John Dashner.
Present.
Sharon Tobias.
Present.
Dan Crosby. And Andy Rich.
Here.
While you do this, I'm going to check my email.
Okay. Now's the time for public comment. Is there any members of the public on the call or in person?
No, not that we know of.
All right. So the next item is a consent calendar. Are there any items on the consent calendar that people want to remove consent calendar for discussion, or otherwise we need a motion to pass the consent calendar?
This is Jeff. I accept.
I'll second it.
Okay. So we vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. So the next item is the committee reports. Tyler, I think you're up.
Okay, so for general manager's report, let me go down on some pages here. So I wanted to start with the usage. We don't normally go over the charts too much because that's part of the consent calendar that all just approved. But just to show that currently this year we're the red line on here, and our usage has dropped drastically over the last year. Currently we went down about 800,000 gallons over the last from month to month, and we're on track to have our lowest usage in about 10 years, or at least on this schedule. Last week, we also had an all-time daily usage low of only 45,000 gallons throughout the entire system. So that's amazing, really. Never seen that much.
What do you think it is, Tyler?
A combination of the new pipes obviously have something to do with it. We probably had leaks out there that were never known about, but just people conserving water. We don't see a lot of big users anymore. We have just a very small handful of large users. Possibly people not coming up as much from COVID. The bright green lines on that graph are all the COVID year.
Sorry, I'm waiting
for Dan. Sorry, Dan's trying to get in. That's good news. That really is good news. And the conservation part of it is really encouraging.
I think possibly another cause may be the inflation and people's, you know, concern, you know, for conserving, you know, their finances.
Yeah, that'd definitely be another one. You have $50 is definitely a lot to some people when you're talking about just a water bill. So that has caused people to slow down. These are the well production. We obviously have quite a bit more in the well production over the last few months since we shut off CCWD water. And you can see that here in the bottom graph with the blue. We've gone up drastically using our well water. But the next chart, this chart shows...
So Tyler, what's the status of the biologic issue with CCWD?
We've done 2 months in a row of testing again at their sample tap. That's about 100 yards outside of where it comes into our system. And so far, they're good. We are awaiting the sample results from November, which it should come in on the 19th. If those sample results are, again, good, we'll go ahead and turn them back on and start using our water again.
Good.
But looking at these charts, you can see the wells are recovering from the summer. They tend to, starting in May, dip off. And then in October, November, they start to come back up. And throughout the winter, they should be climbing. So they're on track to doing what they've done over the last, I don't know, I'd say last 8 years or so. And then let's go to the other thing I had to talk about. Yeah, they did. The other one I have to show, let me see, let's go to the new share. We worked on the altitude valve, which is up at tank 4, which is the point of connection for CCWD, where it comes into our system, as well as where our tank 6 feeds into tank 4. The adjustability on it was getting to be quite cumbersome, I guess to say. It's been taking about every third day, it'll take about 150,000 gallons of water, which would put us over our agreement. So I talked to Clay Valve, and there was a few things we could do to the altitude valve to help our adjustability. I have some pictures, just a second. So here is, let's start with the first one. So this is what the altitude valve looked like before we started. It had the dual springs, which was a little overkill because the tank is only 40 feet from this altitude valve. And with dual springs, it allows up to 80 feet of water. As well, you can see all the small copper tubing lines. Those were sensing lines. And those were there since about the 90s, early 2000s. So we had come in, and this is just pictures of Clay Valve and us working on the springs. Another picture, this is the flapper that's inside that large valve, the blue part. It, as pressure changes, it lifts and opens. And then as pressure needs to go the other way, it closes. So that flapper that his hand is on right now is what opens and closes the valve and allows it to fill or drain. This is the flapper inside where the blue springs were. And this also allows that other flapper to open and close. So we just replace those rubber gaskets on the inside. And this is what it looked like when we were done. So it had all new stainless steel lines, stainless steel valves, all new guts on the inside. And we went to one blue spring, which now will give us adjustability to fill the tank either 1 foot or 15 feet at a time. Before, the adjustability, it just ranged from about 6 to 8 feet at a time. And we had no adjustability outside that 6 to 8 feet. So now we have a lot more adjustability going into our agreement for into the spring or next summer. We'll be able to be under our 100,000 daily just by just turning this large nut on top of that spring.
Just a giant version of the pressure regulators we've got in front of our houses.
It's exactly the same thing. It just has this extra component with the blue spring over there, which controls the regulator, which is where the all the rusty parts are right there in between the two valves. So, and this has been in here since 1991, and it has not been rebuilt or anybody to come out and look at it since 1991. So it was definitely due for somebody to come out and take a look at it and have us work on it. I think it's going to be a great addition to what we can do in the summertime with the CCWD agreement.
It's also a testament to the quality of that valve.
Yes, and that's definitely. The fact that it lasted 30 years without anybody messing with it shows that it should be good for another 20 to 30 years, hopefully. Let's go back to packet. Nope, not that one. 1 second, let me get the packet back up.
Hi, Dan.
Hi, how are you?
We're well, how are you?
Good.
So that's all I have for the general manager's report. The next part is we met with the infrastructure and facilities committee meeting on October 27th. In this meeting was Sharon, Dan Crosby, Bill Cover, Craig Lutz, Kathy, and I. We went over the next year's projects. So looking at Tom's attachment A or Tom's table 8, showing which projects need to be completed in the next year. It was mostly these additional projects, addition of a few services, and then Boro Court and Snowflake Drive, which Boro Court, Snowflake Drive are the main two. Those ones will possibly need engineering. So we'll go out, we'll be looking for contractors and an engineer to bid on this. The reason these didn't get done was because the USDA funding ran out, and we were planning on doing these projects once we received our rebate from USDA. Today, and I called Rilleri, Cooper, and Olson, and all of them would be interested in being the contractor on that job. They were all interested in bidding on it. Rilleri also recommended that Geo and Weber Engineering out of San Andreas, he's worked with quite a bit, and he had nothing but good stuff to say about him. So that might be a good engineer for us to look at, or at least one of three when we go out to get bids for engineers and contractors. Within that meeting, it was asked why these projects were needed, where the money will come from, and how the reserves will be repaid. The reserves will be repaid from the $145,000 that we save every year for these projects following Tom's table A. These projects were needed to, because they had no services, we need to abandon the old mains, and we need separation from the old pipes to the new system. So that way we never have old water that's still stuck in the old pipes in the ground leak into the new system and then have a health issue. I have Borad property on the bottom I'll talk about later. That's in the reportables, so we'll go over that later. Here is the list of the miscellaneous additional projects that we'd be looking to do next year. 1 through 6 are the main priority ones. They are giving people a service, because there are some lots, bare lots, that don't have a service, as well as there are old pipes in the back, like Spring Valley. It's still an old main behind their house. We would like to move those boxes out to the street. Replacing Boro Court, that's another one that still is old piping, hasn't been replaced. And then the cross country line, from Snowflake to Del Rio, it's under high pressure and it's in old AC pipe. So we'd like to replace that pipe. That was definitely part of A1A projects that MC put forth. we just ran out of money to be able to complete that project. Number 7 through 20 are all disconnects from the old pipe to the new. They're all of them should be just digging up a small patch into the middle of the road where the valves are, separating the old valve from the new valves and capping it off. So pretty straightforward. The estimates that we had from that from back in 2018 and 2019 were $271,680. I added 20% to that to come up with a better estimate of current prices. So we're looking at $320,016. And in Tom's table A, he had $367,478. So the amount of money we're setting that we had already set aside for this is more than what I'm coming up with as an estimate. So that's good. So for this today, I'm just looking for the board to approve for me to be able to go forward to start getting contractors to bid on these projects.
So Tyler, what's the downside of not doing 7 through 20?
If one of the old valves that right now is just, there's a valve sealing it from the old pipe to the new, if that valve leaks through, the old water that is no longer chlorinated and probably is full of algae will start to seep into the drinking water system.
Are those gate valves?
Yes. They are all gate valves. They range from, as you can see on here, they range from a 2-inch all the way up to a 6-inch gate valve.
Are they metal wedges or are they resilient rubber wedges?
They are metal. They are all brass. Except for the 6-inch square nuts should have the rubber that you're talking about.
Right. If they're shut and if they're closed, if that wedge is in there, it's highly unlikely that it's going to leak.
Correct. It is. It's the likeliness is going to be low, but we have had them leak through.
Sure.
We do have some that don't shut off because they've leaked and those are old valves. So those
do leak metal, through. If they're metal to metal, that opening and closing is going to wear the metal out. That's why the resilient wedges are always better, but don't usually happen until you get to 4-inch diameter. It ought to be done.
I think that's why they're on the list, right?
Yeah. These are all that Billy and I both sat down and decided that they need to be done just to separate that old system from our new. We ensure we will never have a problem.
So is there anything in the old system beyond the 7 through 20 items here?
That is still connected to the new? No.
All right. So this finishes up, capping off the old system.
Yes. Except for unit 13, I'm going to have to say not, excluding unit 13.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'll make a motion to approve this.
Do I hear a second?
Okay.
All right, who seconded?
I think two of us did. You can put me for a second. This is Bruce.
Great. Thank you.
And the next page.
Well, are we going to vote or discuss?
Discussion. All right, let's vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All nays. Motion carries. Thank you, Lee. All right. The next item, is there more on this
The only other part I had on this was the answer to one of the questions on number four, where is the money coming from? And that comes from this chart right here, which shows all our reserve accounts. And the JP Morgan money market is the one that's earmarked for capital asset replacement, system improvements. It would come from this account or one of the, I would say, the Edward Jones one down here that isn't designated for anything. But just showing where that money would come from.
So those are all those accounts part of the capital asset reserve fund?
No, only this, only the JP Morgan money market is the one earmarked for that. But they are in conglomerate, they are all the reserve accounts.
Well, restricted reserves show below, right?
Yeah, the total reserves is this 1.8 million.
Okay. And then, so on Tom's table for 2023, he shows $367,478 in expenditures.
Yeah, that's Tom's estimate on those projects that I just went over.
So we're coming in a little lower, at about 320.
Correct.
Okay. I just want to make sure those are the same.
Come back to the board after you get your bids so we have a sense for what the real costs are going to be.
Yeah, once I get bids from, I believe I have to get it from three contractors for this size. Once I have bids for that, I'll go ahead and bring those forward to the board for a decision on which contractor we'll go with and what kind of numbers they're looking at.
Okay.
Next is the Finance and Rates Committee that met, and this one, Cover.
All right. What I'll do is just kind of read the notes. That way I'm it's exactly what the committee agreed to, and there's no mix up on my memory. So the rates, the committee is recommending to leave the USDA lot rates the same at $150.50 per year. The USDA payment will also remain the same at $231 per year. And we recommend to set this amount yearly unless, we decide to revisit it. So it would be this until we revisit it. The base rate will be discussed at the Infrastructure Committee meeting during the week of October 10th, that yet to be scheduled. We did discuss this, right? So that's not correct, yes. Right?
Right. Yes, we did discuss it.
Right. All right. So the budget, do we need to add the 10% required yearly payment to the budget? Is an outstanding question. The committee would like to have a 5 to 7 year summary of the year end surplus. And we discussed where monies will come from to fund the board well project, which is if we're going to fix that other well or invest in it. And that should have been discussed in the Infrastructure Committee meeting. And then rework the budget to show employee expenses in a section of its own. That way we would be able to present it to the board, as a separate line item. So the question came about was when we had the chart, the water master pay was separated out. So that's why we want to combine those together. And then we want to look for, we want an audit of the, not audit, but just reconfirm the health insurance payment for the third water master and make sure that's in the 2023 budget. So those were the items that were discussed.
Okay.
So the what we have in the packet is proposed budget and rates for 2023. So it's for the board to look at and to consider.
So wait, Bill, this is Dan.
Yeah.
So you, on number three, you had said that the BORAD well project financing should have been discussed by the infrastructure committee meeting.
It was, and that's in the reportable board items, which is later in the meeting. So I'll go over the BORAD stuff when we get to reportables.
Okay. But we didn't, there was no discussion about where that money would come from, so.
Not yet.
Okay.
You know, I have to figure that out if we're going to do it. So, all right. So here's the budget as the committee came up with. So the income is on this top table. We're looking at $1.2 million for residence lot fees, USDA fees, $428. There's not a big change there from 2022, a little bit of increase. And then I think really there's no other major change. There's some plus or minuses, 5% or so, a few thousand, but really it's going to be our income estimate is about 66,000 more. So if you look at the two bottom grand total income, so that's guesstimation for 2023, right? So any questions on the income summary? I mean, we'll look at it each time we have a board meeting to see whether we're off our chart. So, but if not, we'll move to the expense summary. So we have all the line items there. We've got payroll, personnel expenses. We're estimating around 66,000 more in personnel expenses. A lot of that's like employee insurance and obviously wages, which we'll talk in the compensation meeting. So those are estimations. And then the general expenses is really based on the history of the company, you know, how much we've spent over the last few years. And if you look at it, in the first column, it's 250,000 were general expenses, and now we're up to 1, 2, 3. In 6 years, we're up to 454,000. We think that'll go down about 20. Next year to 434. So there's some line items there that the board might want to look at where there's been a lot of it's like if you look at the property liability insurance, it was at 11,796. We move ahead 5 or 6 years and it's up, it's doubled to 20,000. So I'm not sure, you know, how we can contain that type of cost. We've done better on office expenses. If the second line, we had a peak at 38 and we're estimating 23 next year. And the vehicle is kind of about, would probably average a little bit higher, but it's less than the peak one of 18,487 is our estimate. And we did buy a truck, so that's good. But so the general expenses, 434, then the next line is the source of supply. Again, we're projecting, you know, about $18,000 less, 103. So the peak was 134 in the last 6 years or 5 years. So that's your line items there. And then water treatment cost, we're $122,000, and now we're projecting $49,000. So, and that's the big drop is on the second line, repair and maintenance, from 63,000 to 10. So there was 57,000 to pave a driveway. So that's why that number's off. So and in distribution, there's not much, a little drop there, nothing major. And again, the total budget is 67, about 66,000 more than last year. And it's, you know, you're looking at 1.1 million, you know, 5 years ago, and now we're up to 1.7. So, and that may be because of the USDA loan is part of that, I guess, but we have a gradual increase in cost, over the last 5 or 6 years. So those are the numbers. So that's the committee's recommended budget for next year. So,
Bill, this is Dan.
Yeah.
You're showing a drop of expenses for general expenses of $20,000. Why is that? I would think expenses are all going up. Let's go up a little more.
Which one are you talking about?
Yeah. So it's going from 454 to 434. What's the big driver of that?
The drop in general expenses?
Yeah.
The drop in general expenses was us just going through it and trying to make cutbacks because we didn't want to have a 10% rate increase in the base rate for all shareholders. So going back through it, we had to decrease quite a few areas just so we could stay down in the single digit increases for the base rate.
Yeah, if you look at like the line, office maintenance, your drop from 17,000 to 12. So that's about a fourth of the drop in general expenses at 5,000. And then you've got like minor drops, like with telephone communications dropped 2,000. You've got an increase in liability insurance. But the other ones just drop a little bit. Like you're really looking at the team being more efficient.
Yeah.
And, you know, from day-to-day life. So so that's just the team trying to cut back on just unnecessary expenses.
I think during the USDA project, the team had a lot of expenditures that we didn't necessarily anticipate. So with supporting the project. The other item is the legal counsel has been reduced as well. Sorry, Andrew.
No, that's no issue at all. Sharon, as you were just saying, there were extra expenses during the USDA process that, you know, hit every line item, I suspect, including legal, but that's dropped off now. So I think you're probably more at a much more going forward rate at this point. So that makes good sense to me.
Great.
So if you take out the USDA and compare the result of that versus the 1.153 back, what, 6 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
We're only up about 10% over the last 6 years.
Yeah, so that's pretty reasonable, isn't it? I mean, it's not.
Yeah, I would certainly think so.
The large addition line items that have been added in the recent years are the USDA loan repayment, the interest and principal, as well as coming up in the next year will be down here toward the bottom, this 145 that we're setting aside reserve fund. Those are the major increases in the budget.
Yeah, when we send out the bubbler, I guess the thing to do would be to talk about the decrease in water usage, like one, probably we could say the piping is more efficient, and two, the we think let there may be a inflation factor in people traveling. So it doesn't have to be one thing for the water drop. It can be the USD. I think the leaks in the pipes has helped. So we're getting some return on that investment as far as water conservation. I mean, we all think it was needed to be done. I mean, basically, had to do it. So,
So does anyone have any questions more on the budget? I want to thank the budget, the Finance and Rates Committee for their work on this, as well as this Tyler and staff, Lee and Kathy.
Is there any concern that water conservation is going to reduce income to the point where we're going to need to raise the rates to cover the income that's needed?
I don't see it on the consumptive rates being that. Looking here, let's go up to the income.
I mean, if it dropped that much, we wouldn't have to file from the county, would we?
Well, we'd still have to.
We have to because of the agreement. If we don't buy from the county and we have our minimum in the summer, we're buying water that we're not using at that point.
Yeah.
So,
but well, anyway, I think it's a good question.
Looking at our consumptive rate,
I don't think there's
$3,000 of our budget right here. So if it went down, which we are projecting, it's going to go down a little bit this next year to $25,000. It's not a make or break on our budget. It's a few thousand dollars.
Okay.
So if I could just mention too, from a sort of a historical perspective, Jeff, when Tom was working on the rates the last couple of years, he was very conscious of this issue. And there's always been this sort of balancing act between the flat rate portion of the rate and the consumptive portion. And I would say that the water company has probably stayed more on the fixed side than on shifting a lot into the consumptive portion of the rate, with the idea that conservation and fluctuating use is something that you have to watch out for. And so it's, I think you have some protection built in, at least under the existing rates that you've been using in the direction the rates have been going. So that you're probably going to cover your fixed costs through the existing rate structure without increases. At least that's been the idea.
That's great. Thank you.
Well, plus I would add that at year end, every year I've been, you know, part of the board, if I recall correctly, there's been a surplus. Some years it's, you know, really quite significant. So I think we have more than enough money in here.
I agree. That's a really good question, Jeff.
Thank you.
So I did some math. So the budget is up $145,200 over the last 6 years. Which is about $25,000 a year net increase. I don't think that's too bad.
No, 25 a year.
Is that what, that 3 or 4% annually? That's,
well, let's see. That's divided by 1,153,647. 2.1% per year.
Yeah, pretty darn good.
I think we were fairly consistent, right? So this is going back to 2019, Andy?
Yes.
Okay.
So moving forward,
Can we go back up to the Water Master's line for a moment?
Yeah.
Is Billy in that line?
Yes, Billy, Vince, and including the base line of a entry level employee.
Okay. Are we recruiting for that currently?
Yes, we just haven't had any great luck with anybody yet.
Okay.
But we are still looking for a new guy.
So what is the base rate for that position?
I believe it's $22 an hour to start. It's, and then they don't get, obviously, insurance for 6 months, so that lowers the insurance a little bit.
I think so. $22 an hour, that's what, $44,000 a year?
Yeah, it's a little under $50,000 a year, from what I remember on the chart.
Okay.
Is anyone, are there any other comments or questions on the budget?
Are we voting to approve the budget?
We can either vote to approve it today, or we're going to have a special meeting here in later November or December to finalize this after all the wages are figured out and if these line items will work. I mean, I guess going down through general expenses, distribution, source of supply, and treatment, if those are all good with everybody, those will stay the same. The only ones that will change is going to be up here in personnel expenses. And once we decide the rate that everybody will be paying this year, the income expense line items up here, mainly the resident lot fees, will change a little bit depending on what rate we choose.
So you can kind of approve it and then have a stipulation if any line item changes, then it'll be brought back to the board, say, to approve everything except for the personnel expenses.
Is it possible to go to the personnel discussions and then come back to this for approval?
Probably.
So we don't have to have a special meeting.
And I believe no matter what, just because even if you choose a percentage and that percentage isn't sitting here, it's going to be pending those changes. I think that's what we did last year, was you approved this budget pending certain changes.
Okay.
That's correct.
Yeah, the compensation changes weren't approved until early January last year.
Mm-hmm.
So.
You okay with that, Dan, or?
Yeah. So we'd only come back if the numbers changed drastically? I mean.
Yeah, if it was, yeah, if there's, unless we do what Bruce says and come back and do it all over, but.
Well, I think he was saying we could have the compensation discussion this morning and then come back and see if it affects the numbers, and then we would approve the budget then.
Yeah, that's what I had in mind. We would do both in the same day, today, as a matter of fact.
Yep. I think that's a good idea.
So, Lee, let me ask you a question regarding the employee insurance line items or line item. Are you the one who negotiates with the various carriers?
Yes.
Okay, so what have you had any early conversations about next year? 10% based on the research that I've done seems a little high.
It has already come into us. It's 13,000 instead of the 12 that we put in, or the 11 that we put in there. But that does not include an additional employee if we want one. So as it sits right now, with the five employees we have, we put in 11,373, or we had 11,300, and it went to 13 instead of 12. Oh, sorry, wrong line. Where is health?
From what I did with the math before,
Andy, get on mine.
employee insurance for the new employee and his spouse, let's just say, or spouse, and there's just enough for that for the 6 months that he would be or she would be receiving insurance.
Right, so that was updated afterwards.
Okay, so which line item, Lee, were you talking about at 13,000?
You know, I'm sorry, I can't see. I thought I was looking at the insurance line and I'm looking at the consulting line. I was looking at office maintenance.
Yeah, she was down in general expenses and not HIPAA and personnel.
Looks right, not up high enough.
Okay. Yeah, just so you know, the national healthcare trend is 5.3% year over year.
When we did the 112 that lists there, we will be paying at the end of this year. It's going to go up to 113 next year. But that, again, does not include the additional employee. So Tyler and Kathy went and put in the additional employee, which is why you see the large increase to 160.
So it's a $38,000 for that one employee?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's more than that.
Should be about 24 for a new employee, 25. Depending on how many kids they have, if they're married, if they're single, how, and then their age.
Well, we definitely should discriminate against the
I agree. There should be discrimination taken into account here.
Yeah, well, there's a $48,000 increase from your end estimate to the 23, which is about 40% of the this year's actual.
We had $140,000 in there. And when we had the finance and rates committee meeting, we were asked to add another $20,000 to that for the increase without it. We didn't know what the increase was going to be at that time. So now that we know what the increase is, we could probably get it a little bit more.
I think 140 is more. I think 140,000 is a more correct figure, if you can say it that way. Bad English.
Yeah.
Because it's also only for 6 months, right?
Correct. So that would actually even make it lower.
This person doesn't get insurance for 6 months, so.
So the baseline number is 112,000 or 113,000.
Mm-hmm. You could go down to 130 to be safe. 125 is what I'm coming up with right now.
Okay, so that's a $35,000 swing on the 2023 number.
Mm-hmm. What number would you prefer, Andy? The 125 or 130?
Well, 130, I think, is fine. I'm not trying to nitpick, but I'm just looking at the delta between 2022 year-end estimate and then the 23 preliminary budget, and obviously $48,000 is a big jump for one additional employee. So that was the flag that caught my attention.
I like 130.
Okay.
Yeah. 130 is good.
So we'll make that, you'll make that change as part of the, okay.
Yeah, again, Lee, I'm not trying to nitpick. It was just, delta was just glaring enough that I wanted to revisit it.
I agree.
That's a good question, Andy.
Totally agree.
But then the extra employee, is that person included in workers' comp, or does that just get dealt with later?
They did that. Yeah, okay. I think Tyler and the rest of the committee did increase all those.
Okay.
Just checking, you know.
Yes, thank you.
So this is Dan. I had one other quick question. Did you go down all the way to the bottom of the reserve fund? It's showing that we're going to be paying in $20,923 into the reserve fund this year. Is that true? Because I don't see that on any other of the tables.
It'll be that amount. That was what was left over, the line item, and then whatever our net rollover is, which currently, if you're looking at it, it's in the ballpark of a little over $200,000. So we will be net rolling over about $230,000 at the end of this year.
And that reserve fund was put in there to balance the expenses against the income.
Yes.
So it will change as we adjust everything.
Wait a minute. Is that reserve fund just in case there's any changes in budget, or is that the capital reserve?
No, not general reserve. We had $20,000 more in income than we did in expenses. So we had to do a line item to make the expenses equal zero for the income.
Okay. And then so in 2023, we're going to budget that? Because that what confuses me is that $145,000.
The board asked for that to be in there.
So that's what we would pay into the.
No longer having a big, large net rollover from year to year. Now that we're line iteming the 145, normally that net rollover was always there for capital asset replacement. But moving forward, we're no longer going to have a giant net rollover, or we hopefully won't. And we line item the 145 that we're supposed to be saving every year to ensure that we get the 145. A lot of that happened because of last year with the depreciation afterwards. I believe we took a hit of a loss of $19,000, somewhere in that ballpark, not a net surplus of money anymore. So we wanted to line item that moving forward.
So let me ask the question again. So in Tom's table for the capital asset reserves, we show that in 2023 we're going to put in $145,000. Is that the same $145,000 that's shown on this table in the reserve fund?
Yes.
Okay, because you just said that the $20,923 was just a reserve in case the budget was over.
No, the budget, we have a net rollover of $200,000 this year. But so moving forward, we don't have to rely on having a net rollover of money. We ensure that by putting a line item of 145.
Well, no, that's what we agreed to put in the capital asset reserve fund. We're going to do that every year. That's a fixed fund that we're going to do for, you know, years to come.
Right.
Correct.
So can we change that title to capital asset reserve fund?
Well, it's not all going to capital asset reserve, is it? Is it all going to the JP Morgan money market account?
I don't care where the account is. It's what the fund is.
If that's what
it has to go into reserve, it must go. Any net gain has to go into one of our reserve accounts.
Right. So I agree with Sharon. Should we change that line item to say capital asset reserve fund?
Okay. Yeah, that's easy enough change.
So one additional question regarding this line item. If you look at the 2022 year-end estimate, you're showing zero.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you realistically expect?
I expect about $187,000.
See, this is where I begin to get a little agita. So, Andrew, a question for you regarding you know, these kinds of savings year over year over year in a not-for-profit organization, are these numbers getting to be excessive?
You know, I wouldn't say so at this point, Andy. I could give it some more thought, but I don't think that we've gotten to the point where we've transformed from, you know, not-for-profit serving water at cost to one that is generating a profit or excess cost. I don't think we're quite there, but I think the way it's being discussed is the right way. If there is excess money at the end of the year, you have to give a thought to whether it is appropriately put into reserves or think about whether it should be used to reduce rates. And that's really a board question, but those are the primary decision points to me. But it is a board question more than a legal question.
Well, I think Andy's point's well taken, because I think one of the problems I have is, and we have really nice charts with all these numbers and stuff like that, but whatever we put in reserve has to have a clear purpose, or we're not really serving the stockholders. I think that's what we're getting to is, you know, are we putting too much in reserve? It needs to be like a clear purpose of what that reserve fund is, where the money came from, you know, why it was collected or why we have extra money for the reserve fund and what specific purpose. So like if John Doe, the stockholder, comes up and decides to come to the meeting and ask us, how come you've got, you know, $250,000 in Bank America reserve fund, is that specifically you can say, you know, what that's for. And I think we could probably do a better job of defining it more specifically. That way you don't have that question come up. And it's very clear why you have the reserve fund, but I think it's confusing the way we do the numbers. We're not, you know, we're just not hitting the nail on the head in our internal communications on this stuff. So,
well, what the reserves ought to cover is the accumulated depreciation of all your assets.
Right. That should be clear.
So if you know what that number is, then you're totally justified in reserving to that number.
Correct.
It's like 1.3.
It should be right together.
What were you saying, Lee?
That's about 1.3 million is our depreciation and amortization. Actually, possibly a little higher. It's on the balance sheets.
Well, I think to this point in the conversation, that's why it's important to have a line item, you know, in your budget. The reserve fund, which we now do for next year. Mm-hmm. You know, if we get to the end of next year and we have a surplus of $140,000, and you know, we've got a, you know, budget planning issue that needs to be, you know, visited. But hopefully next year's budget is closer to being a zero-based budget, mm-hmm. As opposed to you know, what we've seen in the past.
Yes.
Are there any more questions or more discussion?
So I'm a little confused with what Lee said. So Lee's thinking we're going to have more like 130,000 left over at the end of the year. Is that correct, Lee?
I believe it's going to be more like 187,000.
Okay.
We'll see how the last 2 months go.
And where are we going to put that money?
That needs to go to reserve. And we normally put it in a reserve that I can pull out from in case I need to use it again for operating.
So it's just operating reserve.
Yes.
That's one of the three items that they listed. Operating reserve fund. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So I think what we need to do is we need to break this line item here that says reserve fund into operating reserve fund and capital asset reserve fund. And I don't know if we need to put restricted reserve fund, but those are all three different pockets of money. And we're kind of showing them in one line here, which is misconceived.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea, Dan. You know, it goes to the same sort of question or discussion that we had around the personnel expenses.
Right.
You know, which were kind of spread out throughout the budget previously. That way there's transparency around, you know, what the various reserves are and what we're actually funding.
Yeah, how much we're putting in each year.
Yeah.
We, at the end of the year, we'll show how much we actually, you know, spent. So.
Is there a way we can add the $187,000 that we think
it's, gonna... I honestly don't
know. Line item?
I honestly don't know. Oh, okay. I would have to look at that. I would have to either talk with Craig about that or Ebbets Pass Accounting about that. It is just, it is the net that we make at the end of the year.
Right.
And it's not, it's not a line item for the 145, although that's what Tom would like. So out of that 185, or 187 is what I think we're going to have. 145 would go into reserve fund and the other, whatever that is, 30,000 would go into
the operating
separate reserve. The operating reserve. I can't put it into operating. I have to put it into reserve. And then we can take it out of reserve and use it into operating if I do need it during the next year.
So, okay.
A portion of it will replenish the emergency reserve where we took $15,000 out for the pump repair. What was that? Back in August, I believe.
Right.
Now we're just looking at 15,000 additional.
So.
I mean, I honestly don't know how to put the, we operate on a zero income and zero expenses at the end of the year. But then with the savings that the employees try to do over the year with not having to replace something that we possibly thought we might have to replace or saving something here on the phones or not doing this, we end up with a net profit. And that net profit is going to vary depending on what happens during our year.
Yeah, but in
I
1 year, you
can line have a net, item for that.
I know, but you can have a net loss in
you
1 year.
You can have a net loss.
Right. So, I mean, I think the point is that the point is we need to talk about how we report our cash flow and income, because we shouldn't be sitting here asking, well, there's another $187,000. It's not on there. Or we're going to have. We need to have it like clear, you know, what the end is and what the expenses are, and then, you know, break
it's
down
on
what
the balance sheet.
No, it needs to be like you know, it's like Bruce's comment about depreciation. I mean, we should know, there should be a slide that says our depreciation expectation is XYZ, and we have this much money in this fund for that depreciation. That would be one factoid. I mean, you need like just facts without interpretation of what to do. Like if you have, say, well, I need to put it in reserve fund because I may need it next year. Okay, that's a decision on what we put it there. That's not a fact. The fact is you have X amount of money and it's in this account. That's a fact. So we need to kind of make it more fact communications in the summary package. And that way people know exactly how much money it is and exactly what the purpose of the money is in each fund. And then if the board decides they want to change that, then they can based on the same set of facts and information. But if it's not presented that way, then we're making decisions in the dark. And I feel like I'm making decision dark on these kind of things, and it's not I'm not comfortable with it. So, but I'm not an accountant, so I mean, I know that Mr. Lutz, you know, if we have somebody like that can organize it, or somebody that, you know, we can pay a hourly thing to come in, or for accountants. But it needs to be fact-based first, and then the discussion on why you need it is the second discussion, but we have to agree on what we have. I mean,
is that not our bank balances and where the reserves, the listed accounts there?
Well, that's part of it, yeah.
Okay.
And I think that chart that Tyler showed
earlier.
Yeah, we asked for that.
That one right there.
Yeah.
That one.
I think maybe that needs to be revised to show. I don't know if it needs more detail. I guess it shows.
Well, if you go to that other one that's in the packet that I talked to Tyler about this morning, it calls, I mean, I don't want to bring it up right now, but.
It's the balance sheet.
Yeah, the sheet, it just makes things confusing. So we need to come up with a way to summarize this stuff.
Okay. I can talk with Craig and see if there's a better way to summarize.
So if this chart we have up here now, if I read that right, where like JP Morgan money market, we say 802.
Yeah.
Then if you go across to the right, the 501, is that part of that money or those two columns are?
I'm going up top. It's the reserve fund target level. These are the target levels that Tom set forth. It's accumulation of the capital assets off of table A for 5-year increments. So next year we'll reassess this and this target fund level of 909 will change. It'll actually reduce next year. And then in another 4 or 5 years, it's going to change again. I mean, every year we're going to reassess this 909. And that all comes from table A out of the reserve fund policy and procedure.
So that 909, Tyler, is what? A target number? That's yes. Not what we actually, that's not actual dollars that we have. It's
correct. This is just a target number to know that if we're on track or if we're ahead. Right now, we're
ahead.
0.866 million in this account, in yes. All accounts accumulated. This yes. Is our target level. So we're over our target level by double.
Yeah. Oh, so those two bottom lines are sums of what's above.
Yes.
It wasn't clear to me, at least when I looked at that. So, well, they can't be totals, can they?
Yes. This is the total. This 486, 802, 29,547 is all totaled right here.
All right.
So just double our reserve target right now.
So why is Mechanics Bank and Bank of Stockton added together?
Because Tom had it this way. This is Tom's chart that he sent to us. We haven't changed anything on this chart since Tom, except for the numbers. We've updated them as October. But we haven't changed this. I don't know why Tom wanted to add these two together and total it here, because they are the total of the water rate stabilization and emergency fund reserve.
I see. Okay. All right. Got it.
Yeah, so, we just need to fix the table a little bit better. But yeah, go ahead, Andy. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So coming back to the $180,000 surplus for this year that Lee was talking about.
Possible, so yes.
So where would you put that 180?
I would probably put it either in Mechanics or Bank of Stockton, one that I could easily pull out of.
Okay.
In case it was necessary to use for either capital improvements or if we had a shortfall in Bank of America, our operating account.
I thought $145,000 is going to go into the capital asset reserve.
Well, that's true too. Yes, that is true too.
What was that?
$145,000 does need to go into the capital reserve. So out of that, it would be the $50,000 that I would put in either Mechanics or Bank of Stockton.
But then $15,000 of it also needs to go back in the emergency fund reserve.
Except for we are already over in our emergency fund reserve. So we can.
The 15,000.
Isn't that right, Tyler?
Mechanics. So the 15,000 will go back into Mechanics.
Right.
And then the net rollover of 145 or more should just go into the JP Morgan money market, because we're looking at spending $300,000+ this next year out of this account.
Okay.
Have these two accounts down here that aren't designated for anything, but they're still reserve accounts.
Right.
At some point, we designate them as capital asset accounts, or we can just leave them as NAs.
Okay, so the 145 that we're talking about right now, if you go down and look at the budget for next year,
mm-hmm.
you know, scroll down to the budget for next year. You have $145,000 in the reserve fund?
Yes, and that should go to capital asset reserve fund, which would go to that JP Morgan money market account.
But that's not the same, but that's not the same 145 that's being saved from this year, correct?
That's next year.
Yes, well, this year's net rollover of like Lee's estimate of 180 something, 140 of that will go to, or 145, sorry, will go to JP Morgan money market, the capital asset reserve account.
That I understand, but that's not the same 145 that's in next year's budget.
It is.
145 in next year's budget is new money, correct?
Yes.
The board wanted to see that as a line item.
I'm sorry, Lisa.
I'm sorry. The board wanted to see that 145 as a line item, as opposed to waiting for the end of the year to see what we had as a net profit.
Yeah, no, I understand that. Yeah, yes. You said something earlier that I just wanted to come back and, you know, clarify, and that, you know, part of the $180,000 savings this year, 145 would be applied against or rolled over into next year.
Right.
For the 145 line item.
Right. The 145, from my understanding, is what we have to put in every year in order to fund the capital asset.
That's correct.
Okay.
So if you...
But that's not being funded from this year's savings. That's my question.
I think it will be.
Well, then we've got a problem with income then.
We have, so problem without,
income,
so we have a problem without.
We're not
without.
Showing any sort of rollover from 2022.
Income, sorry.
Yeah, if we're using money from this year's savings, then we need to show a rollover line item from for next year.
You should have like a 2022 budget, and then you should have a deficit or surplus at the end. It should be a number when you add up all the expenses and whatever your accounts we have to do for the loan. And if we're $180,000 more surplus, then that should be marked a surplus. And then the decision on what to do with the surplus is a decision the board makes.
So
it's not like I want to. It's not that I want to put it in the reserve fund because I might need it next year. It's like we have a surplus in the 2022 budget. That's the answer that I would like to see. And we decide whether that goes in what fund or whether it goes back to the, whether we could use it for bonuses, we could use it for return to the stockholders. We can,
no,
the board can decide whatever they want to do with it.
But I think Bill's right, Lee, is that it needs to be shown on this budget for our year end estimate that we are predicting we're going to have 187,000, right?
But we don't. I am not predicting 187,000 at the end of any year. What we do is we do our expenses. We figure out what we would like for the whole year, what we have spent, what our trends are, what we figure the new trends will be. That bottom line figure then is taken and we put it against what we, our trends for the income. And then the difference is our residence lot fees for the year to make our budget zero. What the staff does for the expenses for the upcoming year is we try and stay inside budget or lower. And for the last several years, we have stayed lower. So we
I understand that.
Yeah, we're not challenging the performance of the employees. I think we're all think that everybody works hard and has done a great job and we've saved a lot of money. What we're talking about is how how the board needs information communicated to it. So it has nothing to do with how you came up with it and whether or not you're saving money or you're using this money here. You know, you're, okay. You know, we're not in prison, so we're doing everything legal. So,
I mean, you look it's at more the like, finances, the finances.
I know, but Lee, it's like we have a budget for 12 months. It's, yes. If it's $2 million and on December 31st, we spent $1.8 million, regardless of what happens in 2023, that's a $200,000 surplus for that 12 months.
Yes.
Period. That needs to be communicated extremely clear, okay, to the board. So it doesn't, if the $187,000 you brought up was you think you're going to have $187,000, then that's not $187,000. That's not a fact. That's a prediction. So the board needs facts like where are we, how much have we got, how much is spent. And we need to have a, you know, if we want to do a budget on October 1st, because we want to do it before, you know, it doesn't have to be December 31st. We need to pick a 12-month calendar where we analyze what happened those last 12 months.
Right.
So it's not you know, that people aren't working. I mean, I've been on this board for what, 3 or 4 years, and it's always been like when I looked at the charts in the handout, like the numbers didn't add up on one table. I call Tyler. I mean, really, it's not, you know, it's because you guys are transcribing from another piece of paper, and you're spending 10 hours on that. We just need facts. Facts.
The facts are in the financial reporting. Isn't that right, Tyler?
Can I say something? I find the year net rollover, or my estimate where I came up, it was a little over 200,000. Comes from this, the year-end estimate grand total. Here's what we're going to be taking in by year-end, 1.68 million. And if we go down to the bottom down here and we show total expenses, the total budget expense is 1.45 million. So that's where I come up with what my estimate is our net rollover. And of course, it's going to change to some extent depending on what is truly spent in those. But that's how I usually find that net rollover. And I believe that's what you're asking for, Bill. You would like to see the difference between that income, the money we have, and the money we've spent showing somewhere.
If you go back to the financials, Kathy, to the first income and expense page.
Let's go back up.
Now, keep going up. There. At the bottom line, 182,569 is our net profit as of the end of October. That's taking everything we've brought in, everything we've expensed, and on our current line, we have 182,000 to bank at the end of the year. Is that what you were looking for, Bill?
That's part of it, yeah.
Okay.
So can we go back to that other sheet? Because I'm looking at the reserve fund asset policy that we approved in September. And in that, we clearly list three funds. The restricted reserve fund, which is to pay off the loan. Capital asset reserve fund. And then there's an operating reserve fund. So if we change that, the budget sheet, and we show those three items, then we can say we're putting this much into restrictive funds, we're putting this much into capital asset funds, and we're putting this much into operating reserve, which that's what Lee's saying, is that we want to carry that money over next year in case there's, you know, something happens in budget and we spend more than we thought. And we clearly define what the operating reserve fund is. In fact, we put limits on it. It should be minimum of 3 months reserve and maximum of 6 month reserve. So I think we need to look at this policy and look at the budget and make sure that the policy and the budget line up. And what's concerning to me, the last page of that policy shows that at the end of 2022, we should have $1,754,000 in the capital asset reserve fund.
We do. We have more than that now.
That's because you took. So this 1866 is all capital asset reserve fund?
Yes.
There's no operating reserve, there's no restricted.
No. Restricted is this one below. So here's the account amounts for restricted reserve, which is all USDA stuff. And this is the target amount.
So the operating.
So where is the operating reserve fund?
Filling up in the finance.
You're gonna put operating on there.
Accounts is operating accounts. Let's go back up to financials or balance sheet. Let's see. So like this right here would be the operating current assets. We have B of A, these are all our operating accounts. And then the
152,000. Yes.
$852,000 in the operating accounts currently. That's on top of the 1866. And these are the reserve accounts. Then this is the restricted. So, I mean, totaling, there's over $3 million there.
Okay. So I did have a request. I looked at this page. So this page, is it possible we change those headers from the first one says current assets to make that operating?
Okay, so you can put operating.
They use the same words that are in the policy.
Yeah.
And then the next one should be capital asset reserve fund, and the last one should be, I think that might be a right, restrict.
Of course.
Just want to point out that we may be over the limits on the operating account because we said it should be no more than 6 months of the annual budget.
Right.
Well, this one is a comparison of October 21 to October 22, and I don't. So, I mean, I think we need one that's just the September to October one.
Okay, that's just one more page. Let's go.
The next one.
Yeah.
This is September to October.
Yeah. So this tells you what, like, what you have as of October 31st, I assume. So. So those are the numbers, yeah.
But again, I'll say it. The policy for reserve funds is that the operating account should be more than 6 months the annual budget. So we're over that.
Right. And we're looking at transferring money from those over to the reserve accounts because there is so much money going into them now since the last billing.
We just talked to Bill about that, the treasurer.
No, yeah, I approve moving it. Yeah.
Yes. But it'll happen in November. It won't be reflected in October.
Right.
But then you'll get more money in December.
Yeah, mm-hmm. we'll get more money continuing mostly in November, but not that much in December.
Okay.
It's mostly January because of the way that we bill. It just by the time the money comes in, most of the checks come in around January, just after the first of the year.
Hmm. Okay.
Go back now. So 16, 16, 16. So not to belabor this conversation.
I think so, it's
okay.
So we have roughly $3.2 million in all of our reserve accounts.
In all of our accounts.
All of the accounts. Operating.
Not reserve, but all our accounts.
Okay, so again, I'll come back to Andrew and ask the question of, is that amount excessive?
Can we talk about this in a closed session, or do we have to do it on a recording? Because I think
I don't think it's an executive session item, Bill. Let me think through that answer, but initially, I don't think so. I mean, the rate setting and reserves policy is an open session item. But to Andy's question, I mean, really, this is a board question still. It's not to the point, in my opinion, where it's a question of making a profit, but it's a board direction and rate question, which is one for all of you. So I'll admit I'm demurring on it, but it's a question for all of you.
If I could also say that in order to maintain our mutual status, 80% of our income must come from shareholders, and that we're doing. That we are okaying, that we have done correctly every single year. 80% of our income has come from shareholders. And the other required is that the surplus, if there is any at the end of the year, go to reserve. And reserve just used to mean not operating. So, and now we have separate slots that we can put that into. So I think even though we're now in 3 million where we used to be in 1 million, we're still operating under the inside of the law and correctly as a mutual water company.
I mean,
yeah, that's
perspective. The thing I'd add, though, is we also keep an eye on the articles of incorporation that say the purpose of the water company is to serve water at cost. At cost does include a reasonable reserve, absolutely. And it's something that you have to have under the health and safety code. But the question of what is a reasonable reserve, that really is a board and staff question to determine. And once you go over that point of the reasonable reserve, then it's incumbent on the board and staff to work towards using that excess towards reduction of rates or some other permissible purpose. But the question of when you hit that point, that's the tough question that all of you are wrestling with. And unfortunately, I don't have an answer for.
I agree with that, Andrew.
And these totals, I know that they are getting up there, the 3.2 million, but we do have some very large expenses coming up. One, depending on if we develop ORAD or do we purchase more water from CCWD, if we go that route at all, both of those could cost us about $1 million. Then we're also looking at in 8 years, less than 8 years, we have the Unit 13 project, which is around $2.1 million estimated. And then just after that, we have the replacement of the meters, which is another little over $500,000. So I know that these numbers are getting up there, but we are in the future, near future, going to be spending a large chunk of this money, depending on the board's decision, of course.
Yeah, well, personally, I'm happy to see that we're at, you know, $3 million in surplus or in reserves. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, you know, from an optics standpoint, you know, when we increase our rates or communicate our rates to the, you know, shareholders, you know, we're just, you know, need to be able to answer why we're carrying such large balances in some of these accounts. And obviously, we've got greater clarity now than we had an hour and a half ago.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, the definition of a reasonable reserve needs to be in a policy. And then we need to list out all those projects Tyler's talking about. And it should be in a clear, concise, I don't think it needs to be more than one sheet of paper, but it doesn't need to be, you know, in really small print, but, you know, whatever those projects are, like the well, you can say we're funding the project for the well, and we think we need this amount of money in the reserve account for that well, or we need this amount of money for asphalt, repave something, you know, or like the $257,000 project, you know, finishing up the piping. But all that needs to be written down and, you know, in part of a document that the board approves. That way we have, you know, we have a basis for collecting that money from the stockholders. Right now, I don't know whether we have that written down where it's concise. It may be all over the place, but all the stuff needs to be consolidated.
So we do have a procedure already, a policy already that would is the reserve fund policy, and it actually spells out all that. It shows how much goes into each of the three funds. It just shows our capital asset reserve fund and how much we're going to spend over the next, I don't know, 40 years.
Yeah.
And it's all in that policy right now.
So let me preface this by saying I'm sure this is a stupid question, but our accumulated depreciation is $4.4 million, right? So shouldn't you reserve against that depreciation value? So in other words, shouldn't our capital asset reserve fund be $4.4
million? Two different funds. One's everything we need to do for the next 40 years, and we need to put money in there every year. So then when it comes to a big expenditure like Unit 13, we don't have to go get a loan or go back to the shareholders and say we need this $2 million. So that's capital assets. Those are capital expenditures we need to make over the next 40 years. It's
right. But of all of our assets, the depreciated value of those assets is $4.4 million right now.
Yeah, but we're not going to spend repair money for depreciation. Those are two different items.
But eventually you've got to replace all those items or repair them. And that money should equal the value of depreciation.
Well, that's not how it was set up. Yeah, we could change the policy, but that's another can of worms.
That sounds like a Craig Lutz question. We're going to need his advice on that. The depreciation and that part is a very tough one to follow, because to say that brand new system that we just put in lost $4 million worth of value in the last year is tough to say, because that piping is supposed to be good for the next 50 to 100 years. And if we keep doing the math on that, we're going to have far more than what it would cost to just replace it sitting in an account somewhere.
Well, then I would argue that the $4.4 million is wrong.
And that could possibly be.
I think Bruce is making a good point that, you have your depreciation reserve fund, whatever that number is, it pours too high. And then you have your new capital expenses account for anticipated costs like the well. And, and then I can go back and look at the policy, but I mean, I've been trying, I'll just be quiet right now, but so we're going to vote on the budget, or what are we doing? It's already 10:30.
I think we were going to hold that in abeyance until after the executive session.
Right. Right.
Correct. Okay, so no, we haven't gone over that. So
Sharon, you're on mute.
You didn't want to hear what I had to say anyway.
I think Bill is nudging you along to move the.
I mean, if that's what the board wants to do, we can come back to it later. That's fine. So the rates.
Well, these are the rates that the committee we discussed went through several different scenarios, and this is the rates that we came up with. So the 2023 rates are there.
And you guys,
this is to the base rate for the cabin with commercial. This is just proposed. This is just what it might look like depending on, like you said, the compensation and figuring out the finalized budget. Is the budget to make sure we cover expenses? We'll definitely make the base rate what it is. So as long as we're, this is just showing you what it'd be close to, not necessarily what it has to be.
So I had I don't know if it's a mistake or if it was done purposely, but on a slight increase, you show a decrease in the lot fee.
This one here.
Yeah, it's a dollar less. Did you do that?
Yes, so it's divisible by 6. So all the slight increase and the rate increase, the yellow and the green, are divisible by 6, where the top one is not.
Right. And the 6 is because we bill 6 times a year.
Correct. So the next slide, this part would show what it, not the resolution. Where is it?
Next.
Check it out. The one that, there it is, this one. This shows it broken down month by month. That's about what they'll pay. Also, we haven't discussed the consumptive rate increase. This one, the $1.75, which would change, could change that cabin, the cabin and meter fee, home and lot fee.
Is that currently $1.60?
No, it's currently the $1.75.
Oh, it is. Okay.
But that's not what it cost us.
No, right now it's up to $1.90. Checking last month's bill from CCWD, the few months back, CCWD, after they did their increase, the average comes to about $1.90 per 100 cubic feet is what it costs us to purchase water from them. And our cost for water is very similar to that.
So these numbers shown here, is it, which category is it? Is that the slight increase or the larger increase?
That's the first one, the 160.
Proposed 640, this first one. It was just to throw a number up there so you guys have an idea of what it could be. It's obviously going to change by a few dollars either way, up or down.
When you say it's going to change a few dollars one way or the other, what do you mean?
Well, because until we have the budget finalized with the expenses to the income part, we don't know what to be charging for that unless you want to just choose the... So let's go back up to the budget.
So this we're is at one.
Where that rate comes from. Is this 1.2 to the 1.1? That's where that big change is from.
Okay, so the blue chart on the rates is what maps against the budget currently, correct?
Correct.
That is not divisible by 6, which is why we created the other two charts.
Yes, makes it easier for accounting purposes.
No. Okay.
But it can be manipulated and use something that's not divisible by 6. It just is going to be a little more difficult.
Oh yeah, we can drop the 2 cents, which we're over now in December, and rebuild. Refigure that.
Mm-hmm. But then you have to explain to somebody to ask how come it's $1 different than last month. So it's easier to divide it by 6 and just have a same rate.
Cleaner.
So we found a $30,000 or thereabouts savings on the employee insurance line item.
You're saying anticipated saving, right?
Well, I think it's right. I think the 160 is too high. I believe it should be what Andy said, the 130.
Right.
Yeah. So then with the rates that we show on.
So all those rates will change according to that would be my.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that would be my point.
Yeah, we can lower expenses at that point, at least by 30 grand right here where the 1.2 is.
Right.
Then that, of course, will move a little bit more.
Okay, so we really can't approve the rates until we have the revised budget, correct?
Correct.
We could do that while they're in executive, Tyler. It's a couple entries.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, if we could take care of it all today, that would be ideal.
Okay.
Yep. So is everyone comfortable with that top base rate in general?
Which could be reduced?
Which would be reduced. Because that's the lowest one, right? That was the lowest amount.
Yes, I'd like to add it. I'd like to add the 50 cents to that so it's divisible by 6.
It could go down to 636 as well. That would be another one divisible by 6. Since we're losing 30,000 out of here, it should be pretty easy to get down to that part. But once we change that 30,000 out of this number and down here, we'll be able to come up with a closer number from that 640. So it'll probably be somewhere in the ballpark of 636, I'm guessing.
I'm going to throw something out there and the rates committee can shoot me, but I'm really far away, so I think I'm safe. I just want to point out that in previous years, the board was making an effort to reduce the lot rate. This year I see that it's increasing and I am fine with that. I feel like I should recuse myself from that whole discussion because of how I feel about it. But last year they got a $6 deduct, or it decreased by $6, and this year we're adding $22. Okay. Because so many people didn't like having to pay for a lot that they had no water to. And as a cabin with a meter person, I don't want to see mine go up, but that's just me. So I just want to put it out there and you guys can, I'm curious what people think about that.
You're talking about the membership lot?
Yes.
The
regular lot. Over the years, we kept decreasing it. Our previous president was really, really tried to push that they shouldn't pay anything. So we've been decreasing it over the last couple of years. And so last year, it decreased by $6. I'm just pointing it out.
Sharon, which line item are you talking about?
So I'm looking at lot, just the lot.
And if the cursor is now.
So the 278 lots.
Yes.
Yes. So if you looked at the previous year for 2022, it decreased by $6, what they paid from 2021. But this year, we're proposing a $22 increase on those people with lots. Maybe I shouldn't have said anything.
Well, no, I think that's a good point. I would take, when you, Lee and Tyler, when you rejigger, the rates based on the $30,000 save up above, why don't you, take this back to what last year's 22 rate is.
Got it. Lower lots to 2022.
You should be able to reduce this back to that old rate and probably still be at that 636, and the number should work. But I'll have to play with them on the calculator real quick.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah. No, it's definitely something good to point out.
Well, no, I mean, it goes back to the argument. If you buy a lot, I mean, the value of that lot is dependent on the water company having a viable infrastructure. So you should pay the same infrastructure cost as somebody that's using water. So if the infrastructure cost is $26 less, then that's fine. But, we've had people that didn't pay it for 10 years. And they said, and they were getting ready to, you know, basically they buy the property, and if the value of the property goes up, they sell it. So they just want to keep their costs low. So we don't get a piece of that profit. So, but the value of that property is based on having a water company that's functional.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the base rate is what it is. It should be based on what part is the infrastructure cost, mm-hmm. not without the use of the water.
Correct.
So that,
I, will that, do.
I mean, but it's, you know, I'm okay with dropping it. So it may be high, but.
I mean, maybe we just don't do as much of an increase as we have proposed, you know.
Well, I mean, you don't have, I mean, most, I mean, the rate's a lot. I mean, you know, you're looking at 8% inflation. So whatever budget we have, it's probably going to be under what we actually spend if inflation continues. But I'm fine with dropping it to what it was last year. But just keep in mind, it's there for a reason. It's not, we're not trying to gouge anybody.
What does the rest of the board think? I just want to make sure I'm not like.
It's developed land versus undeveloped land. What's the difference in the value of a developed piece of property versus one that's
not? That's not the point. The point is that the cost of water is getting the water to the property.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they use it or not is not the question of infrastructure. So I'm all for them paying what it at least costs us to get the water to the property. I know Bob had a different view on it, and you know, that's up to the rest of the board, but I personally feel that they ought to pay.
Yeah, I'm with you, Jeff, but I'm not a nice person. You're a nice person, so it comes better when you say it.
I agree with Jeff.
I agree with Bill.
Well, you're not a nice person.
Do we want to leave it where it is right now for the way it's been proposed for 2023? I guess that's my question. Do we raise their rates? Or raise it just a little bit? I don't know.
Why don't we, when you go to executive session and I rework these numbers and try to figure out something less than 640 down here, I okay. can read this as a smaller increase as leaving it the same, or I can leave it as 6364 and see what it'll work to make this number what we want it to be. Because all we're looking for is to just match this number up top so the expenses match the
right.
income.
Right. Okay. That sounds great. Thank all you, right. Thank you for listening to me, you guys. The board and the staff.
So the next part is the resolution for adopting the water service rates, which we're kind of on hold for until we come back from executive session. So we can skip over this part for now.
So the next part would be the auditor and the CPA. And you can see, I think your first estimate there is from Ebbets Pass Accounting. Ebbets Pass Accounting, we've worked with for about 14 years. They once my last entry is made in 2022, my reports go to Ebbets Pass Accounting. They look over what I say to them, what my reports say, and they make recommendations for journal entries, moving things from, let's say, from expenses to assets. So they give me a journal entry for those. They give me a journal entry for amortization, and they have our depreciation schedule. Once I post those, I take that set of books and I give them to Atherton. Atherton, we've worked with since USDA, the beginning of USDA, and they now take those figures, they review them, they give us a 20-page financial statement, which then goes to USDA and the board to see how we did for the whole year. The dollar amount, as you can see, for Evans Pass Accounting is $1,725. $1,375. She also files our taxes at the end of the year, even though we don't have to pay taxes. And then the next is Atherton's proposal. These are the two people that we work with, Lauren Coons and Rebecca Baeza at Atherton. And their proposal for their review is $8,650. I would like to recommend that the board approve using Ebbets Pass Accounting and Atherton for our 2022 financials year end.
So what's the cost increase year over year for these two?
The cost increase for Atherton, I think, was the same. Ebbets Pass had an $80 increase from last year.
Okay.
You're looking for a motion to approve?
I'd like one, yes, so that I could go ahead and put us on their books.
I'll make a motion to approve both services.
Oh, second. This is Dan.
All in favor? Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. I think everyone's hungry. All right. Let's see. So the next item is I think Bill.
Yeah, I got an email about, so it's not my decision to make independently, but I could have just said no, but I felt like the Homeowners Association sent me an email and asked if we would like to have our election ballot combined with their election ballot for when we do board of directors and they do board of directors. So it's being brought to the board to decide whether we want to do that.
No, that's not on the table for this year. They've already moved forward with their elections. This would be for
2024.
If we were to combine something with them, the problem with combining something with them when Andrew and I were, was there was a lot of conflicts being that they fall under HOA rules and our water company rules are a little different. Our quorums are different. And they were looking at putting the voting ballot, putting theirs on the front and us on the back of it. So you can't open it unless we meet their quorum, which is higher than what our quorum is. So we were having a few conflicts with combining it. So this is, Sharon, I think this is more, you were more versed in this than I was, but we were trying to find how much it would cost our company to be able to do different types of mailings. That's what this page is. So looking at going through a call for candidates through BDS and what the cost is, having an insert possibly in a bill instead of sending it in a giant packet and having them just throw that card out and we don't get any quorum or any voting happen. That's what this proposal was for. It was just looking at what the cost differences were for.
Yeah, I think we heard from, and I'm going to say the amount wrong, but what the HOA pays for the election is quite a bit more than this. So I had asked Kathy, like, well, how much does it cost us? Is this worth, like, hiring this firm?
Great.
But maybe yeah, Bruce should be more.
Roxanne's quote that came in was substantially higher than what it would cost us.
Right. And I had been initially interested in just doing the initial mailing with them, not actually having them do our election for us, but it kind of snowballed. Obviously, they would want to do everything. And but so we wanted to make the board aware that this was an option. And obviously, we missed the 2023 window, but it's an idea for 2024. But we just didn't want to say no without letting the board know.
So what are we looking at with this page? Is this what our costs are?
This is what it costs us to do the election, about $5,500.
or if we have BDS do it, it looks like it's more, I can't tell, maybe 4,000 plus 340 to do the call for candidates. So it's about the same, roughly. I think DDS is a little cheaper if they're doing the mailing, right?
Correct.
I can't, yeah, so, oh, maybe we're doing the second mailing and they're doing the call for candidates. That might be what that is, so.
And who is BDS? BDS?
They're our billing service.
Oh, okay.
So normally they don't mail much out. You know, they mail out that first billing and then they mail out the, in January, they send the letter that comes from the treasurer and the budget. So they do a mailing at the end of February and we will probably put the call for candidates in that packet. So to save a little bit of money. So we're not doing another mailing on top of it. So that's what you're looking at. That's what this page is. I was curious, like, how much does it really cost us? Are we saving any money by going to this, by who the HOA uses?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I just think combining it with the HOA, it sounds like there's a lot of issues with that. And then I think I prefer to keep it at arm's length, keep the two groups separate. I think people will see the ballots together and think, you know, they're connected. I don't know if we want to be shown as connected. I think we need to stay at an arm's length.
I agree.
So, excuse my sneezing, but call for candidates, what does this mean? Is this what we're... soliciting names for possible board members?
Yeah. So early in the year, there's always a call for candidates to say we have two open positions or three open positions, or next year it's just one open position. And we always send that out to all the shareholders. And then I strong arm people who are currently on the board to try to run again. So, but that's how we do the call for candidates. We let everybody know that there's an open position, and whether or not that incumbent chooses to run is a separate issue.
Who is it this year?
Aaron.
So we just thought I think the office thought it would be a good idea to have BDS do the call for candidates to save us some money, or just since they're already doing a mailing. Any other questions?
Comment. I would like to stay separate too, also.
Mm-hmm. I like that idea. So, but I'm just one person. So it sounds like everyone wants to stay separate from the HOA.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Separate.
Separate but equal, right? So,
yeah. Term. Better.
All right. Next item, correspondence.
I'm sorry.
Somebody's got to write who's going to write the letter to the HOA?
You got to tell them
we're not going to do it, right?
We let them know we were going to be able to combine it this year when they asked us to finalize it back in, was it end of September, when they needed it done by end of September, and we weren't going to have that done by then because of not meeting, and the cost was substantially more for us.
No, so has somebody communicated that the board's decision is not to combine, or do you already communicate that before the meeting, or are we going to?
No, because we didn't communicate it as the board. Roxanne from the HOA wanted us to commit.
No, I know that, but we just went over it, so... They'll ask us again next year, right? So we should tell them that we're not going to do it, that we don't think it'll work.
Yes, we'll send them an email and let them know for future we don't want to combine.
Yeah, we're not interested at this time. So.
Yeah.
And I believe Dan has to go.
Right.
Yes, I do.
Thank you, Dan.
All right. Thanks for being here, Dan. Okay.
Was there any correspondence?
I do have one. I have a shareholder who would like to have us write off his metered water usage. And I included that in the executive packet because I have additional information. Since it's an individual shareholder, I think it needs to be executive session.
Yeah, we have that scheduled for executive.
Okay. Thank you.
Next.
And then can you go to page 9 for the account?
Page 9.
Yeah. And then I, for the open invoices, I tried to rework the aged accounts. So in the October billing summary, it shows you how the previous balance, how much we billed. So BDS sent out a total of $410,000 to our shareholders. And then the payments that came in before the end of October 31st. So we went into November with shareholders owing the $389,907. And then in the first column, I broke it out who owed that $389,907. And I'm hoping that's what you guys wanted to see. The current, the past due, how many in each category, all the numbers add up. And then I just made a separate notation at the bottom so that you would know how much was actually what liens people owed. And I had one paid in October, and I just had one paid this month as well that will reflect on the next age accounts. So I'm not sure if you want to see me do something different, or does this look good, or?
I think that looks good, Kathy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what I would do though is, it does look very good, but I would reverse your column so that your October aged receivables is on the right side of the page.
Okay. I can do that. Okay. Thank you.
Good point, Andy. Thank you, Kathy.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, very good.
And the next page is.
So working through the reportables, the update attachment A, it was simply just removing column E out of attachment A, which was showing the $47,000 that we're supposed to be gaining for the next, 10 years? Yeah, 10 years to for the USDA repayment. That was updated, and then we sent that back out. I had, with Kathy, we worked that over and then resent it. Yes. So the next was the proposed budget, which we just went over pretty extensively, so I'll just skip past that for now. Borad well costs. So working up Borad well costs from the Ludorf and Scalamanini proposal, which was from back in 2015, and what Lucia well had cost us to do, let's say the fence, the PG&E drop down from the pole. I estimate that to get Borad online will cost approximately $1 million. And I say approximately because we don't have costs for the permits from the county. Then we also don't know how much paving the county is going to make us do when we run the pipe down Dunbar and then down Blagan Road. During the project, as long as we stayed in the shoulder, they allowed us to pave back, I believe it was about 18 to 24 inches. If we went outside of that 18 inches into the middle of the street, they were asking us to repave the entire lane. So it's all going to depend on, because the county has new people that are heading the road department, what they'll ask us to repave when we lay that pipe going down Dunbar and Blagan Road. So the cost estimate for Borad well costs would be approximately $1 million to get it online. And then the revised age accounts worksheet, that's what Kathy just went over in her financials.
Okay. Thank you.
And with the Borad project, I know it is $1 million, but we can look at doing some of these smaller parts incrementally. One would be, let's say, a pump test, water quality test. Those all run about $5,000 to $1,500 for the water test. And just start moving forward with the process of getting it online, depending if that's what we want to move forward with, or if we're going to be looking at purchasing more capacity from CCWD.
And this is a project that we'd probably need engineering for, right?
Yes, we would have to go out to an engineering firm and have them do the preliminary engineering, similar to what we did with MC. Them and I believe it was like five other engineering companies came out, looked at what we wanted to do, then bid on it. So that's where we would start if when we started trying to lay ground on the piping and buildings.
Great. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. I believe next is all the executive session.
So we need a motion to go to executive session.
I move that we go to executive session.
Thank you, Bruce.
Yeah, I am signing off.
I'll second that.
Okay. We're going to stop recording.
All right. But you and Tyler are staying for now, right?
All right. Okay. Now we're ready. Yeah.
So we're back to open session. Do we go right back to the budget so we can approve it?
Yes, I got the rework budget and rates we have. Kathy's going to bring that up right now.
Let's see.
No. You have it in your file, another one. There it is.
How do I make it?
You have to save it to desktop.
Okay. Sorry, people.
Welcome to desktop. Right. Now this should just be fair screen.
Screen, but it's not open on the desktop.
Yeah, it is.
So you need to open it on your desktop first.
Right.
You're okay.
And what about the rates too?
Let me add in them. Oh shoot.
That's a cloud.
Your picture. Desktop. Go. Here we go. Preliminary budget.
And you can open rates in seconds. So let's just do that one. Then go to your share screen.
Bruce, you moved to the forest from the library.
I got tired of being inside. I saw all you guys are outside. I wanted to get outside too.
I did like your library though. That was awesome.
I've read every one of those books.
Even better.
Okay.
All right.
So can everybody see the budget?
Yep.
Okay.
Yes.
So go up to the top, Kathy.
That isn't.
That's really low.
Where's the income?
Oh, that's the expenses.
Yeah, that is the income. So here's where the income is. We reduced the 30 off of there, bringing it to 1172, 108.
There's 130.
And there's the 130 that it changed by. The total in the income and expense, the 1.697. Go down to the bottom. It's very close. I think it was off at $280. Yeah, which we can find and move around. And then you want to show the new rates.
Yeah.
Open that one.
So to balance the budget, the rates now are
great. Okay.
And then that's the old rates, and then moving down, we found that 627 being divisible by six is a good number, which puts us within that $285, and going back to lot fees being the same as they were last year. So with those proposed rates right there that you see for 2023, that works out to giving us a zero income to expense in the budget.
Any questions?
I believe it, and it worked out to a 3% increase from last year to this year.
Okay, I like it.
Yeah, looks good to me.
Yeah, that's a big difference. Oh, wait, it was $35 increase, and now it's $22.50.
You're right. It'll be $22.50. Yep.
Wow, that's a much nicer number.
Yep, it does. It looks a lot better.
I was. Let's see.
So I'll make a motion that we accept this revised 2023 rate structure.
Do you have
the
resolution?
Rate structure? Okay, so I know I'm doing the rate structure. Motion for rate structure.
Okay, here's the resolution. I'm going to pull it up and save that.
I think they all see it now. You're screen sharing it.
You guys are seeing what I'm doing?
We see the old rate, the new rates.
Yeah. That's okay. So
I have the resolution coming.
So the resolution will show what the rates are. What is it, bi-monthly?
Yes, bi-monthly.
Resolution, here we go.
Okay.
You're doing great.
You just hit new share.
But it's not new share.
Yeah. It'll be new. Just do the new share. Click that button. Right there at the top. No. Top.
Oh, I'm so stupid.
And okay. Then your resolution should be right there.
Learning there something go. New every day.
The old dog.
There it is.
Okay. Now scroll to the second page.
There we go. So here's the resolution, and then on the second page shows the actual rates. After we rework those numbers, you're at a cabinet here of $104.50.
We're not seeing the resolution, or I'm not at least.
No, I'm not either.
Do you still see the budget?
I see the rates.
I see the rates.
Okay, okay, I'm going to hang on.
And then bring
that.
It closed probably. Just for you.
I found it.
Too
many things.
There we go.
There, right. You go. So this would be the base rate, meter rate, changing from year to year. The only one we haven't discussed is the consumptive charge changes. If we vote in that everything is good on there now, it would stay at the $1.75 per 100 cubic feet.
Personally, I'm fine with keeping it at that, since it helps balance out the budget.
Okay. And the consumptive rate, if we change that, I wouldn't be able to change anything in the budget with it, just because I don't know how much water is coming in, and that's not how we gauged what we might be bringing in. We gauged that in the budget off of what we had brought in over the last couple of years.
What is the rest of the board think?
So we're confident that 104.50 is the right number.
Yes, if we went back to the rate piece that we just restructured for you guys, that was the 627 divided by 6 is yep. What you're seeing there on the cabined meter fee.
Yeah. And then the unimproved lot is $342, right?
Correct, which comes to $57 every 2 months.
Yeah.
No, plus okay. The USDA loan.
Okay.
So the annual cabin lot fee is $640?
No, it's $627 now is what we had reworked.
Yeah.
No. You'd have to just share that. Okay, it's okay. And I can, I'll resend you the rework budget and rates. So you can see all.
I just wanted to make double check that I was making a motion to approve the right numbers, and it appears that I'm.
That's why I wanted to.
So you're approving the 858 total with the USDA on cabins and 457.50 with the USDA on lock.
Yes. Yep. Okay.
So we have a first. Is there a second?
It's Jeff. I'll second.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right. I think we should call roll.
Call roll.
Okay. Jeff Jones.
Yes.
Bruce Utter.
Yes.
Andy Rich.
Yes.
Sharon Tobias.
Yes.
That's four.
Did Bill?
That's it.
Bill
Luck. Oh, okay. So Bill Luck, two now.
But we had, we still have a quorum, so we can still do business.
Yes.
So Bill, Dan, and John.
Mm-hmm.
Absent. All right. Do we want to approve the budget?
Yes. Then the next we would be voting for approval of the budget, I believe, or does that do that when we did the rates?
Okay, here's the budget.
No, I like a budget approval.
So I believe, do we have to get a, we need a vote for the budget approval now?
I think you're right.
Probably so.
Yeah.
And it would be probably, I'm just gonna say pending the changes in the personnel expenses once we get the final numbers for that and then rework those into there?
That's correct.
Okay.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
And Bruce.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then can we do a roll call?
Sharon Tobias?
Yes.
Jeff Jones?
Yes.
Bruce Utter?
Yes.
Andy Rich.
Yes.
And the reporting back from executive on the shareholder request.
Denied.
That was denied.
We just need to send him.
Okay, and we're going to write a letter to the offices.
Yeah, we'll send him a letter letting him know the board denied it.
Thank you.
Yep. Sorry, that's when you were probably coming down here.
Oh, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Do we need to mention 5B that we approved? The consulting contract?
Yes.
Yes, yeah, so that was approved as well.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
So you're going to send us the revised budget and the revised rates?
Yes. And then we'll send what we have just done.
Do we want to send that or do we want to wait till we get the compensation?
Yeah, Sharon, would you like us to wait after Andy and I meet, I'm guessing later next week or something, and then adjust that and send it? Or do you want me to send what is here and then resend once we get the very final one?
I think I'd like to see, personally, I would like to see the actual rates because I, you know, I'm going to want to do the math because that's me.
Okay.
Okay, send budget now.
Yeah, we'll send budget.
We'll get that out to you.
Yep.
And I don't know if the rest of the board wants to see or want to wait till you've worked your magic once you have the compensation. What does the board want, who are still here?
What's the question?
Would anybody like to see what currently the budget and rates that we just went over, would you like us to send that to you as is? and you can see it from there, or would you like to wait until we rework the numbers from the personnel expenses, and then you can see the very final?
Well, personally, I think the personnel numbers are probably close enough that we could just go ahead and use what you've got with the the current revisions.
Okay.
Okay, so we'll send it to everyone now.
Yeah, we'll send out what we currently have now to all board members and the rates. And then at the end of the year, when we do rework this and there's a very final budget for 2023, we'll resend that out if there's any major changes. When I say major, I mean like just $1,000 or so.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay.
So I think that's everything on our agenda for the day. Thank you, everybody, for all your hard work and efforts and committee meeting.
And am I right by saying Andy and I, or Andy, Bruce, and I will meet next week sometime to go over the packet?
Yeah. No, I think, we'll figure that out, that separate from this.
Okay. Perfect.
I need to look at my calendar. I've got some stuff coming up that's going to make things a little complicated, but we'll make it happen. Now, Sharon, where are you? Are you still on the East Coast?
I am, but I'm supposed to go home Monday. That's my plan.
What's your plan? Does your dad have a different plan?
Well, his plan was to come with me.
Oh.
Oh.
But my brother just showed up like an hour or two ago. So I don't know. We'll have to see. So anyway, so in theory, I'll be home Monday night in California. So let's go with that.
Okay. So your calendar after Monday looks like what?
I'm wide open.
Are you?
Yeah. Okay. I don't have anything.
Did we adjourn the meeting so I can stop recording you guys?
Yes.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
Do we need a motion to adjourn?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So moved.
I got off on that.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Who moved?
Andy.
Andy.
Okay. So I'm going to stop recording.